You done fidgeting? You sound like you're like rolling into a new position in bed there.
I think that, yeah, just that my office chair here squeaks a little much.
All right, we're keeping that. That's part of the show. Welcome to the Monday Minute. We are actually pre-recording this one because we're traveling this Monday. So we're getting one out there. Let's just dive into a listener question. I know that we've touched on this in previous episodes. I know that's a question that comes up a lot, and it's come up again recently. Steve, what extra clothes do you bring on multi-day trips into the backcountry?
Nothing.
Boom.
There
Elaborate.
You go. Yeah, there's no extra clothes. I think that's the evolution of you. Like, I know my very first trip or first few years, probably I packed extra pants, for crying out loud. You know, tons of extra socks, extra underwear, extra shirt, extra pants. And then you just kind of find out that 99% of the time you never used them. So I just stopped packing them. But no, really, yeah, it's, you know, it's pants. And it is important to have good quality gear, like pants that don't stink after a couple days, pants that dry out quickly, things like that. I've been wearing those Prana Stretch Zions for, man, this is probably year 4 or 5 years now. I love those things. They don't smell. They dry fast. They're tough. They stretch. They're comfortable. Yada, yada, yada. They're awesome. So, yeah, I mean, literally one pair of underwear that I'm wearing, my pants, a couple pairs of socks, you know, depending on the trip, there'd be like one extra pair or two extra pairs in my pack, you know, just the duration. Also, if I'm expecting a lot of like rain or snow or something like that, I'd probably throw an extra pair in there. And then I do on socks, I'll rotate those around. I always like to have like a dry pair to put on at night. That's like the one thing. I'll go to bed, like if my pants are kind of damp or wet, I'll actually crawl in my sleeping bag that way and they'll dry out over the course of the night and you'll be good to go in the morning. But for whatever reason, if my socks are wet when I crawl into bed, my feet just freeze. So I'll actually put like fresh socks on at night. And then if my other ones aren't too nasty, the ones I used, I'll put those back on in the morning and keep that fresh socks for just sleeping and then have for maybe like the last day or something like that of the hunt. And then merino wool base layer, mid layer, and a jacket. I mean, that's kind of what you need. So, yeah, I've been wearing First Light wool for a long time, where they're like lano. So basically just picture like a lightweight long sleeve shirt. And then and their Chama hoodie, which is a little bit thicker with a hood on it. And a lot of times I'll wear – First Light's come out with a new like lightweight one with a hood this year. But a lot of times I would just wear the Chama hoodie is the only layer. And I loved having that hoodie just to keep the sun off your neck and ears. Plenty of like mule deer stalks I've been on where you're just sitting there, you're baking in the sun. There's no wind, nothing's happening, and flies are just freaking buzzing all around you and landing on your face and on your neck and in your ears. And I started just wearing that hoodie, just put it over your head and kind of zip up the zipper nice and tight, and it just kind of keeps those bugs off you. It's a nice little addition. And rambling here, but yeah, I think, and then just a puffy insulated jacket, something lightweight, somewhat water resistant. And that's all I got, man. Unless it's extreme cold weather, you know, sub, you know, 20 degrees consistently below, I don't add anything else to my kit, but what I just mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm almost identical, except for I'm the same way with you, except for I do the extra pair of underwear just because on day 3 or 4, it feels like amazing. Oh. Like I'll wear them and they're fine. But at the same time, you put on a fresh pair of underwear after 3 or 4 days, like if I'm going in for, say, like 6, 7. So basically just like one pair halfway through. And gosh, that feels amazing. Obviously, if you're doing a 3, 4 day hunt, though, I would just not pack the extra. And then, you know, you're good to go. But on those longer hunts, for sure, like that mid change is great. But yeah, it is amazing, man. Like that was one thing for me, just thinking back years and years ago to getting started. Like that was for sure a barrier of thinking, okay, I'm going to pack into the mountains for a week and not have extra this, extra that. And especially for hunting and especially before, you know, merino had proven itself to me, I just didn't, like, it didn't get it. It didn't make sense. But it's one of those things I would just encourage you guys to go test it, try it, and find out for yourself that it works and you can put confidence in it. Because it does, in a way, it does feel like you're skimping, but that's truly all you need if you do it right. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just, I think the critical thing is like merino, or at least, like, you know, if you got cotton t-shirts, you probably shouldn't be going into the backcountry with that. But if you do, then maybe, yeah, you do want to bring an extra shirt or something like that. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So next week, I am not sure whether we're going to have a Monday Minute or not. And that basically depends on the physical, mental status of our lives at that point. We will just be coming off of the death hike. The plan is to be finished Sunday nights, but plans can change. So we'll see. Maybe we'll do like a Monday Minute off the cuff, immediate post-hike diatribe, or maybe we'll A, not be done, or B, not be in a state where we can actually get in front of a computer. So, man, the death hike next week. And Steve, how are you feeling about it?
Dude, I was like doing really good. And then I was talking to my wife this weekend, and she thinks I'm stupid for doing stuff like this. And I was thinking back to just last year, you know, like it was easy comparative to the death hike the year previous, but it was still, it's damn
challenge.
Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, you realize you're going to do like 60 more miles than you did last year. And
I was yeah.
like, yeah, I guess you're right. but no, I'm feeling physical fitness wise. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not too bad either. I've been hiking pretty hard, doing a lot of, you know, like this weekend did like a 7 mile hike, but did it with 70 pounds and kept up a 3.5 mile an hour pace during that whole thing without stopping. Just been doing, yeah, then followed that up yesterday by doing a 100-pound hike that was 4 miles, and I haven't had the time to do like the really long 20-25 mile ones, but I've been doing more weighted shorter hikes, and while I'm doing that, trying to keep up a good pace. So we'll see what happens. I think the biggest thing would just be like more or less not physical fitness but injury, you know.
Yeah.
Like something popping up, like last year with my knee really, really bothered me from my IT bands getting too tight. So we'll see. My plan is slow and steady. I don't know if you guys are going to try to hammer it out and like under, you know, like 2.5 days, something like that.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Phones are ringing like crazy. yeah. But yeah, I'm excited for it, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. There's the chatter of the guys who are talking about pushing it. I'm with you in this one. Obviously, I was last year, you know, I went straight through and felt fine pushing it. But for this one, I don't want to for a variety of reasons. One is I'm afraid of blowing up and getting to a very ugly point and then having 40 miles left or something.
Right.
But then as much for me this time as like, I also want to enjoy it. Like, I know it's going to suck, but I want to enjoy it as much as possible. There were certain aspects about last time, like hiking through the nights, which was a cool experience, but at the same time, missed going through some amazing country in the dark, that it was like, dang, if I was just hiked out in the morning with the rest of you guys, I would have saw some more awesome country. So I think with the area that we're going to be in, the sights we're going to be seeing, and then just, you know, I just want to soak it in. So I'm probably going to be with you and just going slow and steady, and we'll hammer it out. It's going to be difficult no matter what, like no matter how you do it. And it's a whole different thing being 3 days versus last time, you know, either straight through or basically just a day and a half. It changes everything from food strategy to all kinds of things. So yeah, we'll have to be sure to do some wrap up, whether that's a Monday Minute or a full episode about how the hike goes. So stay tuned for that. We may or may not have that out next Monday, guys. This week on the full show, good timing, we did an episode on the research of rucking. So, you know, rucking in military terms is basically just weighted hiking. And we talked with Mike Prevost, who's done quite a bit of research and analyzed a ton of research, has worked directly with the military on rucking programs. And it's a really interesting insight into just what you were talking about, Steve, doing these shorter high intensity hikes with like say 80 plus pounds versus these longer duration hikes with lighter weights and how they train things differently. We get into a bit of, you know, is strength training enough? Is cardio activity just enough? And then we talk about really how actually weighted hiking is what you need to do. And then you can supplement it with this and how to supplement it with that. And he gives us some great insight into some training methodology on really just putting things together. So if you want to kind of understand more than just, hey, I'm going to grab my backpack and throw some weight in it and go for a hike before season, if you actually want to do that more effectively or with some specific programming in mind, this episode is certainly going to be great. If you check it out, put it to the test. Go test it. That's the thing with all this stuff we talk about on the episodes, and I always want to come back to, is hearing this information is great, but actually doing something about it is what's going to work. And you know, it's funny, Steve, I feel guilty of that as much as anybody, because we get to have all of these amazing discussions, and it's to the point where it's like, I think I've forgotten more than I've learned at times, because we get so much good info, and how much of it do you actually get to put into place?
Yeah. No, this episode was super interesting to me, because through my own personal, like when I was really competitively mountain biking and you're really tracking, you know, how many seconds it takes you to do something and your energy output. I always had like these weird, you know what I mean? You'd be like training and think you're doing everything right, like riding every single day and mixing it up. And then I'd kind of feel like crap for one race. And then maybe something happened where I had to take like a week off or 2 weeks off, and then felt phenomenal on that first ride out. You know, like there's some balance there of overtraining versus, you know, undertraining and like I said, mixing it up, doing heavy, doing light, doing fast. And it's kind of interesting to kind of dive into more of that scientific stuff behind what's going on there in that episode. So it's definitely a really good one.
Yeah, cool. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We will speak to you whenever it is that we make it out of the mountains and get back in front of a computer. Hopefully it's next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Steve, Death Hike, let's crush it.
Yep, bring it on.